What is going on, everyone? This is Rich Killen with the Welcome to Hope podcast. And I am once again joined with Sam Lample. Sam, how are you doing today?
I'm super excited, doing well. Glad to be back with you and the listeners. Just very energized about what we're going to discuss today.
Yeah, yeah. So Sam and I were trying to figure out this week what to talk about on today's podcast. And we decided to discuss the topic of adolescence. So, Sam, why adolescence? Why are we talking about this now?
Well, the specific reason we're talking about it now is because we're getting ready to launch a brand new adolescent intensive outpatient program on February 20th. And so it's bringing me back into the memories I had of the first 15 years of my career were all spent treating teenagers.
Right.
And even younger children to a degree, but primarily adolescents, 13 to 17. And preparing to launch the new program, which we're calling Life Legacy, has pulled me back into that world of adolescent development and family system therapy. And I've just, you know, it's just refreshing a lot of ideas that, I've been kind of wrapping up in the adult world. Mm-hmm. And now I want to mm-hmm. reapply them to the adolescent world.
Right. And I think the beauty of this conversation, even for people who are listening that maybe don't have children, but this is something we've all experienced because we've all gone through our adolescence. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully there's something even in our conversation, even if you don't have children, that you can relate to, maybe something that we missed in our childhood from our parents, or something of that nature. So what do you think is one of the big issues or struggles a lot of times in adolescence?
Well, historically, and, you know, even just jumping back into treating teenagers in the past couple of weeks, the issues are the same. Primary issue is communication, lack of connection between parents and their kids. And, you know, everyone wants to know, like, what's the best communication strategy for a parent to be able to develop, you know, just to be able to talk to their child, you know, to be able to sit down and have a conversation without their kid being on their phone constantly, you know, or even the parent being on their phone because of their work schedule or something like that. So communication tends to be the key.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know part of my background, the first 7 years of my career, I was working with kids with severe behavior problems. And that was one trend that I saw with all of my clients pretty much was either a lack of or ineffective communication in the home between the parents and the kid. And most of the time it was non-existent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then there were times where there was communication, but it wasn't good communication. So what are your thoughts on that ineffective kind of communication?
Yeah. So I think that it's interesting, but probably not surprising that good communication and poor communication are opposite sides of the same coin.
Sure.
Yeah. And I'm talking specifically about the biggest tool or communication technique that I've seen and that I use is just validation versus invalidation.
Yeah. So what I feel like that's a term, especially lately, that kind of gets thrown out there a lot.
Yeah.
Validation. But what exactly is it?
Yeah, validation is actually a relatively big concept in dialectical behavior therapy, which is one of our primary therapeutic modalities that we use here at LifeTree, second only to acceptance and commitment therapy. DBT, again, dialectical behavior therapy, focuses a lot on what they call invalidating environments. or so in other words, the not only the absence of validation, but also the opposite of validation.
Right.
And so the point is that, you know, just validating someone is not agreeing with them. It's basically recognizing their presence and their agency in their own lives and communicating to them that they matter, and that, and therefore their thoughts matter, their feelings matter, their opinions matter. It actually is quite foundational for good communication at all.
Right. Right. In a marriage relationship, in a friend relationship, any sort of relationship, I could see that being very valuable.
Exactly. Yeah. Any relationship externally or interpersonally between other people and ourselves, but also internally. We need to have a validating environment intrapersonally. That's I-N-T-R-A personally, meaning I need to be able to validate myself. And what ends up happening, and this is kind of, in a sense, giving it away a little bit,
right,
is when we are brought up in an invalidating environment externally, we have a tendency to recreate that invalidation internally.
Mm. Yeah. So what would a invalidating relationship or environment look like in childhood or in adolescence?
Yeah. So before we dive in on that, I want to, you know, Rich, and you mentioned something earlier about, is this applicable for listeners who might not have kids or adolescents right now?
Right.
And the answer is yes, because by definition, any relationship could constitute an invalidating environment. So we're not necessarily talking about a current parent's relationship with their child. We're also talking about anybody's upbringing. So when you're listening to this, you want to ask yourself two questions. One is, you know, do I invalidate others? But you also want to ask, have I also been invalidated? Right. That's how this applies to everyone.
Right.
I feel like this is such an important concept that I try to discuss it as many times as possible anytime I'm speaking to professionals, because I want to make sure that they're incorporating this knowledge into their treatment process.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So what does it look like?
So let's start with validation. Let's say, okay. Yeah. What's best case scenario? What does that look like? A very simple definition for validation is a person's ability to communicate to someone else that that other person's behavior, thoughts, and feelings are understandable given the context they occur in.
Okay.
So keyword there, understandable and context.
Right.
Because a big fear for a lot of folks is that if I validate something that I don't want in my child's life or my loved one's life, then that's going to give them permission to continue to do that thing.
Right.
And so I want to stress that validation is not permission. Validation is an acceptance of the truth about the situation.
Right.
Right. So it's, in a sense, it's kind of the opposite of denial, you know? Right. So we use the word understandable because it's rarely, if ever, effective to tell someone that you understand exactly what they're going through. Mm-hmm. But we like to communicate that there is always there the possibility of being able to understand something when you factor in the person's life experiences.
Sure.
So since we're talking about adolescents primarily, you know, one of the behaviors that a lot of adolescents will engage in is cutting behavior.
Okay. Yeah.
And no parent wants to see their child hurt themselves, right?
Right.
So they're hesitant to validate that that behavior is going on in a person, in a child's life often. And yet at the same time, if we were able to gather enough information to fully understand the context of that child's thoughts and feelings in relationship to that behavior, then it becomes understandable as to why they might be doing that.
Right.
So validating is the key to opening up lines of communication to gather a better understanding of what is actually going on here and why.
Right. Right. So I'm thinking, you know, I've got kids, and there's been times where my kids have come home and said somebody at school made fun of them or said something mean about them. Mm-hmm. A invalidating relationship or communication would be to say something like, well, just ignore it. It's not a big deal. I'm sure it wasn't that bad. Other comments sort of like that.
Yeah, exactly. Minimizing comments, dismissing comments.
Right.
But there are three specific messages that come from invalidating environments.
Okay.
And we'll go through those relatively quickly because we don't want to take up too much of your time. But I also want you to understand the value of that. It's easy to the value of validating communication because it's easy to be invalidating and not even know it. So the first message, whether it's sort of overtly or covertly communicated, the first message of an invalidating environment is that a person's thoughts and opinions don't really matter. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whoever it is, the child, the spouse, the loved one, the parent, they get the message that nobody really wants to hear what they have to say.
Right.
And that their thoughts and opinions are just really kind of stupid or uninformed or annoying or irritating. And so what ends up happening is that the more a person gets that message, if they buy into it, they start to mistrust themselves. You know, they start to Right. question whether my thoughts are actually valid or should I even have an opinion. And as soon as a person starts to mistrust their own intuition, they lose direction in life.
Yeah. Right?
So yeah. What ends up happening, especially with teenagers, is if they're convinced that they can't trust their own thoughts and feelings, they end up trusting the powerful voices in their lives. Mm-hmm. So you want to ask, well, what are the most powerful voices in the current adolescent's life?
Right.
We would like to think that it's their parents, but that's unlikely.
Right.
It's more so that the most powerful, influential voices in their lives are actually their peers, or even probably worse, social media influences.
Right.
You know? And it's not that all social media is bad. There's a lot of really educational, interesting, growth promoting aspects of social media, mm-hmm. but there are also the aspects of it that are clearly toxic, that are meant to tear people down, to mislead them. And so when you communicate to a child, adolescent in particular, that his or her thoughts or opinions are kind of useless or irrelevant, they're getting the message that they really can't trust themselves.
Right.
And when you can't trust yourself in the world, it's like trying to sail a ship without any compass.
Yeah.
You know, you're literally powerless, hopeless, helpless, adrift at sea.
Right.
And that's just one message. And so the second invalidating message has to do more specifically with feelings. Mm. So the second part of an invalidating environment is when you communicate or someone communicates to you that appropriate emotion should be punished or ignored. In other words, if you show me any uncomfortable emotion, mm-hmm. anything other than joy,
right.
then I'm going to communicate to you in some way that I don't want to be around your uncomfortable feelings, so you need to take them away from me. Mm. So an invalidating environment doesn't allow a person to be appropriately angry. It doesn't allow a person to be appropriately sad.
Right.
It doesn't allow a person to be appropriately anxious. What right. it basically says is either stop feeling that or you shouldn't be feeling that. Take that away from me until it goes away. The result of this message are individuals who either become emotionally explosive because they rebel against that idea of hiding their feelings, or you have a person who becomes emotionally shut down.
Right.
Which is often mislabeled, by the way, as the person who is shut down is someone who has no feelings. And that's just not the case at all.
Yeah.
It just means that shut down person is experiencing just the same level of intensity as the person who's emotionally explosive, except they go out of their way to make sure that stuff stays internalized.
Right.
But we know in order to do that, they're going to have to adopt some type of coping strategies or behaviors that allow them to maintain that internalized emotionality.
Yeah.
And generally those behaviors are not healthy.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So that sounds pretty bad, right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it is. It's these messages are not great messages, but the worst one is yet to come, in my opinion. The third and final message of an invalidating environment is when we communicate to people that their problems are no big deal and that they're easily solved and that you should be able to solve them by yourself without ever asking for help.
Right.
And so what you have here is that, you know, I think instinctively most people know this is not possible, especially an adolescent knows, and, you know, if they're being honest with themselves, that they're not capable of running their own lives. They're not capable of being excessively independent too early. You know?
Right. As much as they may think they are.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. When they have their moments of clarity, they realize, you know what, I need to be able to ask someone for help. But if that adult in their life has already said, no, there's no help here for you. You need to figure it out. Then you get kids who have these perfectionistic tendencies or these performance orientation approaches to life where they feel like, you know, basically their worth and their value is dependent upon how good they are.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Am I a great student? Am I a great athlete? Am I the nicest kid? Am I the best friend? Am I the most responsible sibling? But the reality is, as we all know, it's impossible for a person to behave their way to perfection because perfection's impossible. So really, we have these children that are fighting a losing battle.
Right.
They're going to struggle with guilt and shame, possibly self-hatred, and end up adopting a lot of those negative coping strategies that, you know, we talked about to manage their feelings, right? But that's only part of the picture. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the kids who get this message actually reject it. And instead of becoming a perfect child, they become a rebellious child.
Right.
Because in their hearts, they know I can't live up to those standards. So why would I even try? And then there's a certain amount of anger that is projected onto the individuals who gave that message through the rebellious behavior of that child, you know?
Yeah, right.
And then there's this hybrid that occurs.
Okay.
And this, I'll sort of put a bow on it with this. Sometimes kids or people will try to be perfect little people, but they realize it takes too much emotional energy. So they develop a certain level of resentment towards the person who gave them that message, and they start to rebel. But they're too nice to be an actual rebel. They're the kind rebel is what I call it, or the perfect rebel, or the nice rebel, in that they'll start to like do things to poke at other people, but they're so benign, no one would ever actually recognize it as rebellion, you know?
Right, yeah.
So you want to keep that in mind when you see the shift every once in a while, the child who seems like they're just absolutely the perfect child, all of a sudden their attitude changes and you're not sure why.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there might be quite the possibility that they're tired of trying to be this picture or this representative of an ideal. You know,
right.
maybe they're just worn out, you know?
Right.
So let me recap that real quick.
Yeah.
Invalidating messages. You communicate to someone that their thoughts and opinions don't matter. That's number one. Number two, you communicate to a person that appropriate emotion is basically that anything less than happiness is to be punished or ignored.
Right.
And number three, you're teaching people that their problems are no big deal, that they're easily solved, and that they should be able to do it without asking for help. That's invalidation.
Yeah.
You don't need all three components. You just need one. But my guess is, and my experience tells me that, you know, where there's one, there's generally two.
Right.
And in I would say many, if not the, you know, at least 50% of the time, all three of those messages are present.
Right. Right. So how do we fix that? If we're a parent or even just in a relationship, even a relationship with ourselves, or a relationship with a loved one, and we recognize that maybe we're doing some of these things, maybe unintentionally.
Right.
What can we do to fix that?
Yeah. Well, I would say the chances are we are doing it unintentionally.
Right.
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 For two reasons, I say that. Number one is if we're invalidating, it's probably because we've been invalidated.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Right. And number two, is so much of what happens with us is in a subconscious level anyway, that, you know, oftentimes we're just operating out of a default mode without being mindful or aware of the ramifications of what we're doing.
Right.
So the first thing you have to do is get honest and be aware. You know, you have to ask yourself the question, do I give my loved one of any age these messages? But you also have to ask yourself the question of, were these messages given to me when I was a child, when I was an adolescent, when I was a young adult, or even maybe now in my adult life? So that's the first thing we do, is we become aware, we get honest.
Right.
And then if we determine, like, yes, I am invalidating, then you basically start to do, and this is where it's not rocket science, but you start to communicate the opposite messages to the invalidating messages that you've been given.
Okay.
But the most important thing is that for anyone who has been invalidated, they have to become their own source of validation.
Right.
So that internal dialogue needs to change and become far more gracious and empathic, nurturing, self-accepting,
right?
Not trying to tear someone down, right? But consistently trying to build someone up, almost as if you are your own cheerleader.
Right.
That's the answer to the question, is like, how do we become validating? Well, we give the opposite messages, but we also primarily have to learn to validate ourselves.
Right. Yeah, because we can't, it's great when we can get that validation from other people.
Right.
That we are in relationship with.
Yes.
But we can't always rely on that.
No.
Because everybody else is going through their own stuff. They may have gotten the same messages. So we can't rely on them to always validate our feelings, our experiences. So we really need to learn how to do that for ourselves.
That's exactly right. Yeah. We're all in the process of becoming, hopefully, becoming a better version of who we are every day.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we're taking our mental health seriously, which I, you know, think has been sort of an outcome of the pandemic. And
yeah,
it seems to me like mental health has become more of a topic that people can talk about. It's great if you have validating others in your lives, and we want to be a validating source for others.
Yeah.
But ultimately, to your point, Rich, it's so poignant. We can't depend on someone else to validate us.
Right.
Right. There's no guarantee there.
Right.
And so I need to be able to validate myself when I'm in a validation vacuum or a validation black hole.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This is a great point. Great point.
Yeah. That's a lot of great information. And I've heard you talk about validation many times, but I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it. And I think that part of that is just the complexity of what it is.
Yes. Yes. Because it seems like simple concepts.
Yeah.
And yet these are powerful concepts. And here, and I'll give you an example of how we apply some of this, right? So, you know, one of the things that parents struggle with their kids is unwanted behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And so the tendency is for the parent, caregiver, the teacher, whoever the authority figure is to just communicate directly to the kid, like, hey, whatever that behavior is, I want you to stop doing that behavior. Well, the problem is that without connection,
right,
that is established by validation,
right,
you don't have the like emotional sort of cachet to influence a child's behavior. So all they experience is them being criticized.
Right.
But if you do the validation piece first, and I mean not just validate one time, I mean validate multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody might say, Sam, how much validation? I would say hundreds of validations before you have the influence to come in and say to a child with confidence of like, hey, you know, you've done a good job explaining to me why you do this. Can we agree that this is not like that this is harming you?
Right.
Yeah. And that it's not in your best interest. And as your parent, it's hard to see that you're struggling like this. Can we do something about it? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. But I'm telling you right now, if you go directly to just requiring or demanding behavior change without validation, the chances of you being effective are little to none.
Right. Yeah. And I've heard several parents tell me that, well, they just need to listen because I'm the parent and they're the child. Or something to that effect. And the reality is it, like you said, it doesn't work that way. Even in the military, yeah. Right? People think that, you know, the subordinates are just going to listen to their commanding officer because they're the commanding officer. But that's not exactly how that works. Hmm. Right? If they don't have trust and respect for that commanding officer, yeah, there may be consequences, but they're not just going to do everything that that commanding officer says.
That's a good point.
And I've heard, you know, people in Navy SEALs and things like that comment on that exact same thing. There has to be at least some sort of a relationship. Obviously, that relationship is going to be different than the parent-child relationship. Right, but there has to be a relationship there if you are going to want somebody to do what you're asking them to do.
Yes, absolutely. There's an old saying, I don't know who to attribute this to, but someone once said that rules without relationship equals rebellion.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is one aspect of validation that we're talking about, but, you know, we're talking about an application or sort of answering the question of why would I validate? Well, to say it in a different way, if you want to have any sort of influence over people in your lives, validation is an appropriate mechanism to do that. So it's not just about communication. It's about getting needs met. It's about behavior right. change. It's about emotional intelligence. I mean, the list just goes on and on. That's why I think, you know, I can talk about this a lot, but I think right. the reason is because it is so important. And I have plenty of examples of where we turned an invalidating environment into a validating environment. And everyone started to blossom.
Right.
You know, not just the identified problem child. Right. You know, which of course we don't even like that terminology.
Right. You know? Yeah. So we kind of prefaced this at the very beginning with the IOPs, the adolescent IOP.
Yeah.
And so if you're out there listening to this, maybe you have a child that is struggling with some things. And maybe you recognize that you as a parent are giving off some invalidating messages. You know, we have an IOP that we are starting here that is going to be helpful for your child.
And you as a parent. Yeah. You know, got to keep in mind, like, if, you know, if you're listening to this and you're recognizing like, oh, you know, I do have some of these invalidating messages, you know, recognize we're certainly not saying you're a bad parent because of that.
Right.
It's just that validation over invalidation will make you an even better parent. And so, you know, we've developed this intensive outpatient program because we want to help adolescents become more emotionally intelligent, more mindful, better able to tolerate distress and uncertainty in life. So their transition into adulthood is as smooth as it can be.
Right.
We also incorporate a lot of parent involvement in our programs as well. So I realize that not everybody knows what IOP stands for. It stands for intensive outpatient. And it's generally 9 hours of therapy a week, 3 hours a day, 3 days a week. There's a fair amount of group therapy involved, but also individual and family therapy. And like I said, we are launching ours here in the Glendale area because we want to be change agents. We want to help people stop suffering when they don't need to suffer. We want to increase education and keep families intact. And the list just goes on and on. Yeah. So, you know, what I would say is if you're not sure about that, whether you need that type of program, you know, I would ask yourself, if you know, have you been doing outpatient therapy for a long time and has it been working for you? And if the answer is yes, I've been doing it for a long time, but I'm not really seeing the changes that we've been looking for, you know, that's probably a good indicator that you need the next level of care. And that's what IOP is. So what we would encourage you guys to do, if you're even remotely interested, is to call us at LifeTree Counseling. Our number is 602-488-6104. Ask to talk to Rich, ask to talk to Sam, and we'd be glad to spend some time consulting with you, answer some questions, give you some information, and see how we can help.
Absolutely. Well said, Sam. As always, feel free and please share this this podcast to anybody that might find it of use. And we will have another great episode coming at you here pretty soon. Sam, thanks again for sharing your knowledge with us.
My pleasure, Rich. I think this is so much fun. And I can't wait to see the type of feedback we get from today's conversation.
Yeah, I'm the lucky one because I get to hear all of this information on a regular basis. So
the content in this program is not intended to be a substitute for professional counseling, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your mental health professional or other qualified mental health provider with any questions you may have. Never disregard professional advice or delay seeking counseling because of something you have heard on this podcast. If you or someone you know is in need of counseling in the state of Arizona, feel free to call us at 602-488-6104. If you are in crisis or think you may have an emergency, please call 911 immediately. If you are in Maricopa County, Arizona, and are in a behavioral health crisis, you can call the crisis hotline at 1-800-631-1314. If you are outside of Maricopa County, you can call your local crisis hotline or simply dial 988 for the National Suicide Hotline. If you are outside of the United States, please call your local emergency number immediately.